Hi, I'm John Galloway.
And I'm Jeff Fritz.
So we're going to be talking in this session about middleware, custom middleware, digging into some middleware internals.
Yeah, middleware feels like a buzzword.
It does. You know, but once I started digging into ASP.NET Core more and more, I realized everything's middleware, and that's where all the real power is. You know, everything you configure, authentication, MVC, all the, you know, routing, that's where everything's wired up. And the cool thing with that is you can plug in, middleware is great for a lot of reasons, but one is you can plug into this stack, right? And so you can say, add my middleware after this one, before this one. I can completely control it. I can debug it.
Yep.
And I can write my own.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at writing some of our own.
All right.
So here on my machine, I have an empty ASP.NET Core application that just has some of the basics configured at this point. Okay, there's nothing going on in my startup class. I have a configure method here, and I'm accessing the logger factory just so that I can create a logger so I can start to interact with my log as I'm building my application. The one other thing that I've done is I've gone into my project, and just like I did when we worked on our video about authorization, I've activated the .NET watcher inside of my application by adding this line, .NET CLI tool reference, Microsoft .NET watcher tools, version 2.0. And this will let me rerun my application every time there's a C# change inside my code that I save. Okay, so if I run this application right now, I'll say .NET watch run. So this will run my application and start watching it to make sure that it restarts if there are any changes. And there it is, it's running and it's listening on this location. So I will copy that and I'll come over here to my browser, navigate to that location, and I just get hello world.
Okay.
Now I get hello world because in this configure method, where I configure my middleware, the last thing that happens is this app run, and whatever the context is, we're going to change the content type to HTML, and we're going to output hello world.
So this is actually pretty crazy. You've got in just a few lines of code, you're serving web requests.
I'm serving web requests with HTML. But what I want to point out here is this run statement is a terminating piece of middleware.
Okay.
We don't actually pass on to another item after this occurs. Okay, this is the end of the chain. Nothing more happens. And this is typically what we'll see when we see that use MVC inside of our middleware, right? That's a terminating piece. Even though it's using the phrase use MVC, you could continue on and have something after it, but by convention, run says there's nothing that occurs after this. This is the end of it, okay? So this is terminating. Now, other ones that we have out there are things like app.useStaticFiles. Right? So this will pass on control if there are things that it doesn't know how to respond to. So if somebody's made a request for what it finds is a static file on disk, it'll serve that static file and stop processing. And it's important that I put that in before the run statement because I want to make sure that we don't always get a hello world when I serve my request. Now I have an index.html that I wrote to disk that just says hello from index.html.
If I
browse to /index.html, I get hello from index.html. If I don't go to that page, if I go somewhere else, I still get hello world.
So that order, like you're saying, really matters because if that serves use static files was after the use MVC,
let's try.
I'm
going to move it down using Alt down and put it after my run statement. So now let me go back to the browser. And it says hello world, even though I've requested index.html. That's because it knows to serve index.html after it specifies that terminating endpoint where it's saying hello world.
So that gives me a lot of power and flexibility to say this is exactly the order of how I want my middleware process.
Absolutely. All right, so now let's go back over here, and that's, there it is, I'll do app.useStaticFiles, there we go. Now, I can start to write my own use statements here to do other things that are important with my my pipeline, my request pipeline. So let's do something here where we'll actually output the environment information to our log. So I will write app.use, and I can put a an anonymous statement in here so that it actually goes through and executes this on every request.
Okay.
So the format we need to use is async, some context, and then a next pointer to what's going to be the next feature that we request. All right, and now I can interact with the pipeline directly as it's being walked through. So I will say logger.loginformation, and I can say beginning request in this environment name.
Okay.
All right, and that'll log that information out for me when there's a request. So my compile is finished. I'll request this page, and it actually didn't return anything, but I'm getting my beginning request statement written out. Why didn't it return anything? Because my use statement here is being passed in information about the HTTP context and a pointer to the next item that's being executed. So you actually need to tell it, go do the next thing.
Okay.
So let's do that. So now I can say await next, and it'll execute the next item in the pipeline. So I'll save that. I'll make sure that it finishes restarting here. Let me come back to my browser. And now, when I request this, I get hello from index.html, because that's the next piece in the pipeline. And if I look over here in my log, I get beginning request in development. And then I see it served the static file.
Great. Okay.
So we've inserted some information, and we're processing that static file. Now let me go one step further. That next statement is being executed, and I could still execute other things after those other things finish.
So that gives me the flexibility to say, call this, complete executing the middleware, but I want the final say after that.
Absolutely. So what if I set up a timer here, and when I'm done, I can say logger log information. There it is. And I can say...
And as you're typing that, you're using the string interpolation feature, which was added to C# recently. I really like that. That's the dollar sign at the beginning, and then the curly braces, and it allows inserting code into a string.
Yeah, I can format my string without having to use those integer-based formatting statements.
Yep.
So I'm just going to output the information about how long it took to complete the request. So I'll verify that my application has finished rebuilding and restarting over here, and I'll request my page again. If I look at my log, you can see here, beginning request in development, it served the static file, it wasn't modified, completed the request in 9 milliseconds. So okay. I've got all this information now that I'm able to insert and manipulate around my requests by writing a little piece of middleware right here. Now that's a use statement, and a use takes the context and the next item, so it passes on control, and I effectively end up wrapping the middleware, and I'm able to execute things as it comes back up and unwinds the request because these other things have completed. Now, I can do other things in here like mapping. Now, mapping is when I want to branch the request. I want to do something different when a certain thing occurs, right? When I meet a certain criteria.
Okay.
So the simplest format of this is to match a path. So I could match something as simple as contacts. If somebody requests the contacts page, what do you want to do? What do you want that to do? And at this point, I can pass on to a similar type of use or run statement. So let's do that. I will pass on to a run statement, and I will say async context. And this time, there's another parent there. This time, I'll just say await context response, write asynchronously. Here are your contacts. right? And perhaps I have some code that is going to output some contact information.
Okay.
But I'm really at a low level here interacting with that request
responding
pipeline.
To a very specific request.
Yeah, very specific format. And right, there's no MVC here. There's no Razor views, no controllers. I'm writing code directly against that HTTP request.
Okay.
So now, if I come in here, I can still request index.html, and I get index.html, but I have that map statement for slash contacts. So if I go to contacts, I get that occurring, right? If I go somewhere else, if I say contacts for John, it's somewhere else. It falls all the way down to that run where it says hello world.
Okay.
So now I've mapped and jumped off because I have a path that matches. I can add other conditions in there too. So check this out. Let's go over. I want to add one more check in here. I can say app.mapWhen. And I can check for a specific condition here. So I'm going to take my context, and I'm going to say context request.headers. And let's check my user agent, because maybe I want to behave differently for different browsers. And I can say if that contains Firefox,
all right,
I want to specify something else to do. So let's create a Firefox route method to call. And I will create that method for me. And I'll scroll down to that. So this receives an iApplication builder. I'll rename it to app so it looks like those other things that we have. Mm-hmm. And in this method now, I can actually do those other things that I would want to do. So let's say app.run. And once again, I'll do context.
As you're typing that, one thing that comes to mind with this is because you're showing here that you're refactoring this out to another, out of that whole long list of middleware, you're refactoring it to another method. And I could potentially even put this in another assembly. I could put it in a NuGet package or whatever, right?
Spoiler alert, that's where we're going next, right? Let's see, I need async here. And await doesn't go there. Await goes over here. All right. So now I'll save that. So looking at the order in which this occurs, right? So if somebody goes to contacts, we're going to write asynchronously, here are your contacts. If they go somewhere else and they're using Firefox, we're going to write out hello Firefox.
All right.
So I'll go to slash contacts. Here are your contacts. Mm-hmm. So now I'll go somewhere else. I'm getting hello world. What did I do wrong there? So here's what's going on. Let me back up and let's attach the debugger and look at what exactly is going on here. So I'm going to stop this. I'll stop my watch and I'm going to go over to my code. And now if I put a breakpoint here on this map when statement, okay, the map when is actually only executed when it comes down and it hits that during configuration.
When the application is starting up, basically.
Right, when this configuration happens
at startup.
So that's
not going to help us debug then because it doesn't show per request.
Exactly. So let me put a debug point in this one that I am hitting.
Okay.
And now I can inspect and take a look at that header. So now let me start my middleware sample. And I'm going to browse to it this time with Chrome so I can take a look and see what's going on here.
Okay.
Just with a slightly different perspective. See, now I hit the breakpoint on my map when statement because I'm configuring it. The actual Firefox route isn't triggered yet. All right. So I will click continue and it steps through. And now, because it's requesting it, I'm breaking at the actual lines here where I'm checking the response type. So now let's check my user agent header. So if I look at, context.requests.headers.
And once you type this, you can zoom in, right?
Yes. Let me do that in just a second. And I show that. Check this out. The headers is actually a collection.
Oh.
So I need to look at the first item in the collection and inspect that string. All right?
Okay.
So if I did say zero, it's not going to check it, evaluate it for me if I set first. It's still not going to let me traverse that here inside this window. So let me fix my code here. So I will change this to say first contains Firefox, then we'll route over to my Firefox route.
Makes sense. Okay.
So let me rerun this one more time.
And are you running in Chrome, or I guess you can pick your browser? Huh?
Let me start in Chrome.
Okay.
So now this is running, and I'm stopped here at my Hello World. And that runs, and inside of Chrome, mm-hmm. I get Hello World.
Okay.
Let me go back over to Firefox, and I'll request that location, and I get Hello
Whoa,
Firefox.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I've detected the browser by checking the user agent string, and I've mapped, I've said, go do this instead inside of my middleware.
Okay, so some bigger picture things that I'm seeing out of this. One, you did that based on headers.
Yes.
So in this case, you were detecting the user agent, but you could detect any kind of header there.
Absolutely.
Anything else about the request. Another thing that I think is really cool that we shouldn't like just gloss over is that you can debug them. So
yes.
This is actually bits of code, and you can go in and you can set breakpoints and you can interact with them. You could also set conditional things that say, if I'm in development, do this. If I'm running
yes.
in this, whatever it is, right?
Absolutely. So let's do that. Let's actually take our sample here one step further. I'm going to stop this, and let's actually move some of this out into another class and see how we can use that same type of the way we get the use static files. Let's see if we can build that syntax here pretty quickly around some of that information we're doing for our environment information. So what I can do is I can write another class here, and I will call it environment middleware. So let's start creating a class here. Public class environment middleware. Now the thing about middleware is it's not an abstract class or an interface that you're implementing. You're actually implementing one method that's important, and that's the invoke method. So let's create public async task invoke, and invoke takes an HTTP context, and we'll just call it context. I'm going to move my zoom here. Goodbye. Now, for my environment, the way I was logging information about the environment, I want to pass in information about the next delegate that is coming along in the pipeline and the hosting environment. So let me create a constructor using the ctor snippet,
okay.
and I will receive the request delegate, typically called next by convention, and then information about the hosting environment that we're operating in. So let me save that next delegate into a private field here. I'll create a read-only field for that. And then I'll save off my environment information into another read-only field. Cool. Now, inside of my invoke, I can do almost the exact same things I was doing before here in this method. So let me just copy this directly and paste it in here. Now, I don't have that logger available to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's change this just a little bit and make it a little bit more interactive for folks that aren't accessing this from and being able to see the log. I can say something like context response dot headers add, and then let me add information about my hosting environment name, and then that's a collection of strings. So, yep, new string values, but I'm going to do anonymous type there, and environment name. All right?
Cool.
So I'm just adding that environment name as a new header. It's a custom header. That's why it has that X there. It's not next. It's this now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a logger, but wouldn't it be great if I could... I have to pass in the context to my next request.
You need to pass that on.
Yeah, so okay. that the next folks in the line that are listening can receive and interact with that. Since I'm not putting this on the log, I want to put this on a page if it's HTML. So let's just do a quick check and say, if my environment name equals development, right? Mm-hmm. And I can also do that by saying is development.
Okay.
And my context response content type equals text HTML. Oh, we also need to make sure that content type isn't null. Content type does not equal null. So let me format that a little bit. All right, so if it's not null, if it is text HTML we're writing out, mm-hmm. then let's add on to the end of our HTML by saying context, response, write async, and I'll just add a paragraph with some string interpolation that says from environment name in, and then let's complete my timer in elapsed milliseconds.
This is really cool. So you are modifying an HTML response.
Yes.
By writing a little bit of custom middleware.
Absolutely. All right, so I've written that into the mix here. That's an async call, so we should await it. There we go. And that's it. So this is going to trigger after this next statement. All right? So let me rerun this one more time. And I'll run this in Chrome. I get my hello world. And let's take a look now at our header information that's coming back. I'll do a refresh. So when I look at localhost, so I don't have my header yet. That's because I didn't hard refresh this page. It's still looking at what's cached. So I'll click back on localhost, and now it's not coming out. I wrote all that class. Why isn't it coming out? You actually have to add it into the pipeline. So how do we add that into the pipeline? Well, we have this using statement, this use statement here. Mm-hmm. That's trash now. We've moved it somewhere else. We can say app.use middleware, and then I like to pass in the generic type here, environment middleware. Okay. So with that statement, let's rerun. And now that's in our pipeline. It's being called, it's being referenced as we work through. And now it says from development in 22 milliseconds. And if I look at my
that
request,
header better be there.
There's my header, X
nice.
Environment name, development.
Very
and it's
cool.
written out for me. And it's also written into this HTML page. It's also not being written over here, because what's going on in our page is, yes, that middleware is being called, but that static file clears out and only returns its content. So the things that would have occurred, right,
it's a static file, right?
Are blocked because it says, I'm done, the response is completed. That header that it executed and included over here in my middleware before the next being called, this was completed, but because the rest of it was being blocked and it terminated, this code after it did not fire.
Got it.
Make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So now let's do one last thing just so we can get that same syntax we had with the use static files. Let's just put a quick helper method inside of a static class.
So let me guess what you're going to do here. Well, so let you type while I talk here.
Sure, go for it.
You had to go in and you had to say app.use middleware, and you had to give it the generic name, which is okay, but it's a little bit fidgety, and it's not as nice an experience as I see with the other middleware I'm wiring up, where I say app.use MVC, and it auto-completes for me.
Yep, you're right.
And if I was passing in custom parameters as well, if I had to pass in a lot of stuff to configure it, that also, that method signature, I might want you to do some work for me to make it easier. Give me some IntelliSense, make it autocomplete.
Right. So I'm just going to lift that same use middleware, environment middleware statement, and just embed it over here so that I could put any other code I need to use to set up that middleware right here.
So now in your startup, you can replace that code that says use middleware with app.use environment middleware.
There you go.
Beautiful.
And it'll still work. So I'll start with the application. Hello world from development in 24 milliseconds.
Very cool.
So that's a little bit about how to write custom middleware. I know the ASP.NET folks have some samples out there for us.
Yeah, I just wanted to show some examples there. As you dig into writing your own custom middleware, it's really helpful to see some production shipping middleware. Mm. Fortunately, all this middleware is out on GitHub. So here I'm looking in the basic middleware repo, and they've got several good things in here. They've got ones for zipping, for all kinds of, you know,
for
HTTPS.
Compressing your
exactly.
response.
Yep. The one I want to show here is the rewrite middleware. What's neat about this is this allows for, you know, there's the mod rewrite, the rewrite rules you can put in your htaccess files if you've used like on Apache, and it's kind of a common syntax. So what they've done here, which I think is really slick, is they have created some custom middleware that will parse these and rewrite in ASP.NET Core.
So that Kestrel will now understand the same rules that we were using on Apache.
Exactly.
Cool.
Which is pretty slick. So here it's able to actually understand if these are just rewrite rules, you know, as text. It also understands them. This is their sample here showing you can add these rewrites in, you can also configure them here in line, which is pretty neat.
Cool. And it understands the IIS rewrite rules that we used to use.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it pulls those in as well. And if you look in at the rewrite middleware itself, it's a bit of code, but it's not crazy. Like it's not hundreds and hundreds of lines of code.
It's another class that starts off with a request delegate next, just like we saw in my environment middleware.
Exactly.
It's taking in a few other things.
Like passing in a logger and options and
sure.
stuff. But then, here they set next and options just the same kind of as you did. And then their invoke is it's a few lines of code, but it's not mind-boggling.
It's not overwhelming.
Here. And so here they're just iterating the rules and applying the rules.
Neat.
And so that's really it. And then at the end, just as you did, they return next and pass the context
pass on
to the next
item.
One in the delegate.
Cool.
So really cool. And then they also wrote these extension methods so that I can use app.use. Here I do app.use rewriter. So neat. I think this is a great, like, as you want to go on, as you maybe are writing something that's a little bit beyond what you've shown us today, here's some great samples and information about how to do that. One other place I want to point you to is the docs on middleware are pretty comprehensive. They've got some great diagrams explaining, you know, exactly how middleware works and how pass-through works and explaining all kinds of things about writing your own custom middleware.
Terrific. All right, so we learned a lot about middleware here in this video. Learned about how to configure it, why the order of it is important. We saw how we can take our middleware, write it in an external class, we can write it inline, and we saw some great samples on GitHub. Thanks so much for joining us for this video. We're having a lot of fun writing some code here for ASP.NET Core. I hope you join us for the next one.